love the theater, so you must know Kawachiyama, that old Kyojin play. It's the one where Misato, the courtesan, rests at an Iria villa, and Naosuke slips in to see her. What was that Kiyomoto piece called again? Shinobi I Haru Yukidoke, Secret Meeting in the Spring Thaw. Every time I watch that play, something always drifts into my mind, old Hanshichi continued. Of course, the tale's path is completely different, you see. The setting is the same, Iria Fields, on a spring evening with fluttering snow. A masseur like Matsusuke no Takega appears wearing a hood. The atmosphere of that scene is truly akin to the Kyojin play. Well, please listen to this. My story is a simple, plain tale. I can't offer the enchanting voice of Hamacho's Tayu, so the narrative might lack its usual charm. It was the close of the first month, in Keoganin, 1865. Hanshichi, after an errand from Kanda to Ryusenji-mei in Shitaya, left the house around 7:30, 5 in the evening. His way home was already cloaked in dimness. Though it was spring, days were still brief. But today, since dawn, the sky had turned a muted gray, covered by a dark, cold shadow as if white flakes might soon fall. Twilight felt as though it arrived even sooner. They offered him an umbrella, but he declined, believing he'd manage until home. Hanshichi left, hands tucked in his sleeves. As he neared Iria Fields, white shadows, like plucked crane feathers, began to flicker before his eyes. He took out a hand towel, covered his cheeks, and walked through the bitter wind that swept across the fields. Hey, Tokuju-san, you're so stubborn. I'm just asking you to come for a moment, you know. A woman's voice drifted into his ears. Hanshichi looked over. Before the elegant gate of what seemed a villa, a chic woman, perhaps 25 or 26, a maid maybe, was gripping a masseur's sleeve, trying to pull him back. Otoki-san. No, you can't. I have an appointment at the pleasure quarter soon. Please let me go, the masseur pleaded, trying to slip away. But Otoki, the woman, pulled him back again. But then I'll be in trouble. There are many other masseurs, but the Oiran favors you alone. She says no one else will do. If you don't come willingly, I'll be completely lost, you see. It's truly an honor to be favored, and I always give my thanks. But today, you see, I have a prior appointment, one made long ago. You're lying. You've been saying that every day lately. Do you think the Oiran, or even I, truly believe you? Don't dilly-dally, just come quickly. You're such a frustrating person. But I really can't. Please, just for today, have patience with me. Both were quite stubborn, neither yielding. It seemed unlikely the matter would be resolved easily. Yet, it wasn't a particularly interesting scene. So Hanshichi just listened with half an ear and walked past. The snow was just a fleeting sight. It had stopped by the time he reached home. But then, 2 days of overcast skies followed. On the third day, Hanshichi had another errand. He had to go to Ryusenji-mei once more. Today it's truly dangerous, he muttered, preparing his umbrella. And sure enough, large snowflakes began to drift down. On his way back, it was 7 again. The Iria Fields were already buried beneath a blanket of pure white. Carrying his heavy umbrella, he reached the villa he'd seen earlier. Sadly, the front thong of his fair-weather geta had snapped. Hanshichi clicked his tongue, leaning against the wall, mending his sandal. Then, he heard geta crunching on snow. The same woman from before emerged from the gate, walking along the stepping stones. Oh, how it's piled up, she murmured to herself. She stood there, a look of waiting on her face. But with no umbrella, The snow hitting her hair seemed too much to bear. Soon, she turned and retreated inside. His hands were numbed, shriveled, making it take time to fix the thong. Just as Hanshichi finally slipped on his geta, rubbing his muddy hands with snow, the masseur from before came, walking briskly with a familiar gait. As if she heard the sound of his geta, the woman slipped out from inside. She seemed to have been waiting eagerly for him. She must have learned her lesson from their last encounter. This time, she held a folded umbrella over her head. Tokuju-san, I won't let you escape today, called out to. The masseur stopped, startled. He tried to slip away again, constantly making excuses. But the woman pulled him back once more. As such wrangling continued often, Hanshichi found it a bit amusing. He pretended to tinker with his muddy geta, already mended. Subtly, he watched from the corner of his eye. The masseur, ever stubborn, broke free once more, fleeing the scene as if escaping again today. He's truly hopeless, the woman grumbled, disappearing back inside. Watching her retreating figure disappear, Hanshichi followed. He pursued the white shadow of the masseur's umbrella, already 5 or 6 ken ahead. He called out from behind him. Hey, masseur, Tokuju-san. Yes, yes. The masseur, hearing a strange voice, tilted his head and stopped. Hanshichi stood nearby, his umbrella at rest. Tokuju, cold, isn't it? It's pouring like crazy, isn't it? I remember needing your help a few times in the pleasure quarters. Just the other day, too, upstairs at Omiya's. Ah, was that so? As I grow older, my senses dull. Forgive me for any oversight with my valued patrons. Is Master heading to the Yoshiwara as well tonight? Even on such a night, a visit can be quite delightful. They say, the snow on your umbrella feels light if you think it yours. Whether he knew of Hanhichi's fabrication or not, Tokuju skillfully played along. Anyway, it's bitterly cold, isn't it? These past few days, the chill has returned. Crossing those rice fields won't be easy from here. How about we grab a bowl of soba over there to warm up and gather some spirit? Won't you join me? It's still a bit early to head into the district anyway. Yes, yes, thank you very much for the treat. I don't drink sake myself. But for those who do, a cup is certainly needed before facing these rice fields. Yes, yes, thank you. Turning back about 100 meters, Hanshichi ducked under the noren of a small soba shop. Tokuju brushed snow from his hood and huddled by an old square brazier, shivering. Hanshichi ordered a hot soba dish and a bottle of sake. Ah, this is arare, isn't it? For Edo-style soba toppings, this is simply the best. And the scent of nori is rather lovely. Tokuju, his whole face a smile, happily inhaled the warm aroma of the soba. When the soba shop's mistress lit the gate lantern, illuminated by its faint glow, he saw large, petal-like snowflakes falling heavily beyond the noren curtain. When about half the bottle of sake was gone, Hanshichi began to speak. Tokuju, that annex where you were just standing and talking, whose was it? Was Master around that area? I didn't notice at all. No, that was the annex of a house called Tatsumise in the Yoshiwara district. They were trying to call you in repeatedly, weren't they? But you seemed to be running away frantically. For an annex in the pleasure quarters, they should be good patrons. Well, Master, there's something not quite right about that place. It's not that they don't pay or anything like that. But somehow, it's just a creepy sort of house. Hanshichi set down his sake cup mid-drink. A creepy house. What do you mean by that? Surely it's not a place where monsters appear, is it? Well, there aren't any such rumors, but I just find it deeply unsettling there. Whenever they call me there, I get this shiver, and I decline as if I'm running away. Tokuju murmured, wiping sweat from his nose with the back of his hand. That's a strange story, Hanshichi chuckled. Why would it feel so creepy? I don't get it. I don't understand it either. It's just that I get this shiver all over, as if cold water was poured down my neck. Since I can't see, I can't really tell. but it feels as if something strange is sitting right beside me. It's truly unsettling. Who exactly is staying at that annex? It's an Oiran named Taga Soda-san. She's in her early 20s, at her peak, and they say she's incredibly beautiful. But since around last November, she's been making excuses to stay there for recuperation. If she's been off duty from late autumn to spring, she must be quite ill then, right? Tokuju said it didn't seem to be that serious. Of course, as a blind man, he couldn't know the full details, but she was reportedly suffering from a strange, languid illness, alternating between rest and rising. Even so, Hanhichi couldn't understand why that Tatsumi's annex was considered so eerie. Though Tokuju declined, saying he'd had enough, Hanhichi insisted on paying for his soba, and slowly, over his sake, tried to coax out the details. "It's indescribable, Master," Tokuju whispered, his face drawn. "Please, Master, listen. When I'm led to the back to massage the Oiran's shoulders, it's usually in the evening or at night. It feels as if something is sitting there, right beside the Oiran. No, it's not the apprentices or the maids. If it were them, they'd surely say something. But from start to finish, not a single word is ever uttered. The room remains eerily silent."